Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and here we are after Thanksgiving, and I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I'm sure it was maybe a little stressful here and there with everything and the planning and the preparations and whatever you did, but I hope more than just the external things, you had a great time of fellowship, maybe with your family, maybe with close friends, whoever it was with, your church or whoever it might have been. I hope that it was a really meaningful time. And I hope that if you didn't quite have that kind of a time, I hope that might cause you to reach out to the church. Maybe today. Today's a good day. That if Thanksgiving wasn't all that you thought it would be, come and meet with God's people today. Come and get an eternal perspective on life. You know, this is what we're talking about in Ecclesiastes, is that Solomon was trying to figure out what life was all about. And last time we read through chapter 2 right at the end. In fact, we even had to stop because it's too long of a chapter and I couldn't read it fast enough. We ran out of time. So here we are back today discussing Solomon's search for wisdom. And like we said, that it's going to be a repetitive, continual, trying to get us to understand it from every angle, that without God, life is meaningless. And so let's just jump right into Ecclesiastes chapter 2 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon said, I said to myself. Now, remember this chapter as we've read through it and as you continue to read through it, it's just full of I, me, myself, my, I, myself, my, I, me. And so you can tell that even in his wisdom, that Solomon's really introverted here. It's just all about what he's seen and understood and figured out. And that can be a real help. But always remember that in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom also. So listen to what Solomon says here so that hopefully we can learn something from it to help us in our lives, not have to go through the same things that he did to learn the same lessons, but we can learn that, hey, we already recognize and understand these things are meaningless without God. So Ecclesiastes 2 verse 1, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. Now, Solomon here is doing this deliberately. It's not just impulsive, kind of spur of the moment, whatever hits him. He's kind of planning this out and deliberately pursuing this to find out what's good, what's really worthwhile and valuable in life. And he says, I'll test you with pleasure. In other words, he's testing himself with pleasure. But that also proved meaningless. There again, just short conclusion. Verse 2, laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? All right, you know, laughter and frivolity and being around people that make you feel good and sharing things that make you laugh and chuckle, those are all great things. Laughter is great medicine for the soul. It's very encouraging. And boy, you know, after you get done laughing, man, you feel pretty good for a little bit. But the point is that if that's all there is in life, it gets old after a while, doesn't it? It's not satisfying and fulfilling. Maybe for a little bit, for a little while, but ultimately it's like there's got to be more than this. So laughter is okay, but really in the overall scheme of things, yeah, what does that really accomplish either? What is pleasure in and of itself, just as a whole? And he's not really even mentioning anything specifically yet, but but pleasure is kind of fleeting, and that's kind of the meaning behind meaningless. Even is that it's not that it doesn't have anything to teach us about life, but that it's so fleeting, it's so short, it doesn't satisfy totally in and of itself. And that's what he's saying in verse 2. Verse 3 says, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. Now, some people, myself included, would say that, hey, drinking wine is embracing folly. And especially, you know, to the extent that people make themselves drunk and silly and foolish. You know, boy, I'll tell you what, God's people need to keep their minds clear. And I don't want to be under the influence of any substance except the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's not it, that's a him. And so that's far better. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. Okay, well, you know, and again, the answer is that doesn't do it. It's just not enough. All of those things in and of themselves, they just don't have real meaning. And he says at the end of verse 3, I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. Solomon recognizes that life is short. And I think we realize that too. Sometimes we don't want to think about it. And sometimes it seems like it goes so fast that, wow, what do we accomplish? What did we accomplish? But his goal here is good, that I wanted to see what was good for people to do. What's fulfilling? What's satisfying? What's going to make a difference? Hey, all of these things have something, but in and of themselves, just meaningless. Pleasure, laughter, cheering himself with wine and all these other things. What's really good? And so when he gets to verse 4 of chapter 2, he's going to go from pleasure, from, you know, just those kind of activities, to projects. Okay, so using his mind, using his creativity, thinking and using his resources. Here's where Solomon, because of his riches, was able to do things that we probably never will. But the point that I think that we need to see here is that Solomon's saying, hey, even though I'm doing these great, big, huge projects, even though I've undertaken massive things that the normal person can't do, it still doesn't completely satisfy. It's still fleeting, okay, in the scheme of life. Look at verse 4. I undertook great projects. Okay, so instead of just having fun, okay, he's actually doing something, building something that's tangible, something that he can see, something that other people can see, something that they can do something with. That sounds better than just pleasure, right? And it is. He says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. So, I mean, he's making things better. He's making things better. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. And I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of man's heart. So in all of these projects, gardens and groves and houses and really whatever he wanted, he had the resources, he had the manpower, and he had all of these things that he had amassed materially to do those things. And yet, again, we see the same kind of result. Okay. Verse 9, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and in all this my wisdom stayed with me. Okay, so he's still not just bouncing through life, but he's actually personally investing himself, his resources, his creativity, his mind into doing these things. And it says that he became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. Verse 10, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Okay, my heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Verse 11, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And so he'd acquired so much. He'd grown rich and powerful, greater than anyone else in Jerusalem before me. He says all of these things, and yet the same result. Now, his heart did take delight in all of his labor, and this was the reward for all his toil. We understand that when you've done a good day's work, when you've labored and you've toiled, and especially when you've made something better, whether it's the backyard or cleaning out the garage or your room or redecorating something in the house or whatever it is, whenever you do a project, and especially when you've done something for someone else, okay, there is a delight in that, isn't there? There is a, wow, this was great. And yet that's the reward for it, is that you took delight in your labor. And yet when that's over, guess what? It goes away. It doesn't continue to satisfy you. Now, you may remember it every once in a while, and it brings you good feelings, and you take delight in the things that you've done. But ultimately, that doesn't continue to satisfy you in your life. There has to be something more than just doing something for somebody else just for the sake of doing something for somebody else. Why are you doing it? And that's what Solomon figured out, that everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Why? Because God wasn't in it. God wasn't in it. In fact, this whole section reminds me and a lot of others that have studied this before me of Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, there is a parable that Jesus teaches right after he warned the crowd around him and his disciples to be on guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, here's something that Jesus understood that Solomon kind of understood back here in all these things. In all of these pursuits and all these pleasures and all these accumulations of things, that's not really what life is all about. And especially if you get greedy for all these things. Okay? Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, Jesus said in Luke 12:15. Okay? Because life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. He who dies with the most toys wins is not accurate. Okay, and we'll see why here in a minute, because he who dies with the most toys still dies. All right, but after Jesus says this in Luke 12, he says in verse 16, he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Okay, so Jesus is bringing this down a little bit more clear than Solomon here is. He's going to eventually get around to it, but Jesus basically just says, hey, if you're just storing up stuff for yourself, if life's just all about you and what you want, and notice in this parable, the rich man, it's all pretty much like Solomon, right? I, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down and I'll say to myself and do this. And the problem was he was counting on and depending on just what he had accomplished. And like God said to him, hey, your life is demanded from you tonight. Who's going to get what you've prepared for yourself? Hey, so we need to be very careful not to be greedy and not to think that life is just all about possessions. Because even if we had the same opportunities as Solomon, even if we had great wealth, even if we could do all these things, we would come to the same conclusion. Yeah, there's delight in labor. There's reward for toiling hard and accomplishing. And yet, when you get it all done, okay, that's all there is. And then you start realizing, well, what's going to happen after I'm done with it? And so he goes on in verse 12 to say, then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. So again, we're back to wisdom and folly as kind of general principles rather than specific things, but same thing. Wisdom, madness, folly, there's a contrast there, right? And considering, what more can the king's successor do than what's already been done? Now, that's kind of interesting because, you know, when people think that, usually there's a whole lot more than can be done than they ever thought might be possible. But the point is, here's Solomon thinking, you know, hey, I did all this. What else is there left to do? What can whoever comes behind me do more than I've already done? Now, he did figure out a few things. Verse 13, I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. Hey, the wise have eyes in their heads while the fool walks in the darkness. But here's the point with this contrast. At the end of verse 14, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Okay, and what is that fate? Death. Okay, that's the same end that both the wise person and the foolish person, the rich, the poor, the whatever, all of our end is death. That same ending, that same not just luck, not just chance, but death. This is the same thing that overtakes both of them. And so wisdom is better than folly, and light is better than darkness. But if all there is to wisdom or folly or whatever, again, this is the point. If that's all there is, then death is the end of the matter. And what a sad thing just to look forward to, or to dread more like, is to die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Wow. What a way to live. What a sad state of things. And so let's take a break and get away from this for a minute. And let's listen to Blessed Be Your Name. Let's think about God. Let's think about how good God is. Let's think about how great God is. Let's think about how thankful we can be for everything that God has given us. And that he's given us the ability to work and to think and be creative and to enjoy and to help and to serve and build and all the things that we do, that instead of being for us, we do it for his honor, for his glory, that we do things that aren't just temporary, but are for eternity. Wow, what a much, much better way to live. And so let's listen to Blessed Be Your Name this morning.
We are streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in,
you
right, we're back this morning after listening to that great song, Blessed Be Your Name. And let's go ahead and finish off chapter 2, this section right here. Starting in verse 15, then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. Now, there again, what a hopeless way to end up this particular section here. Like the fool, the wise too must be die. So there again, Solomon's not trying to get us to just say, okay, well, who cares? You know, it doesn't really make any difference. When you just consider the end of life, right, it doesn't make any difference if that's all there is. In other words, if death is all there is to the end of things, if that's it, then who cares whether you live wise? Who cares if you live foolishly? But here's the thing. The point is that there is more than just death. There is more than just that last breath and we're done. Hey, there is everlasting life available. You know, and I don't know about you, but there is so much that I haven't experienced. There's so much that I haven't learned. There's so much more that I want to know, to experience firsthand, that I want to do these things and do it to the glory of God. This is an opportunity we will have in eternity. Hey, okay? But those that are not in Christ, those that don't know the author of life, death is the end for them. And that's a sad state. No one should have to face that particular state by themselves. So I just want to remind you again, as we come to a close today, as we read Ecclesiastes, it's tough to read, but only because if that's your focus, that's all there is. How much better it is to get to know God, to learn about God, to learn about Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of life, who's there for you. Hey, we're the church at Las Vegas, and we'd love to tell you more about him. We'd love to sit down and study the Bible with you, answer questions, concerns that you have about life, death, about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. We know that the Scripture is the wisdom of God that he's given to mankind. And so we hope you'll come and join with us as we worship God. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. You can come and meet with the church Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study and a time of prayer. And so we encourage you to come for any or all of those. Please go on the web. Our website is thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can learn more about us there. So again, thanks for listening. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that in the name of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, because of what he did for us on the cross, because he died, he was buried, and he rose again, we can have life. Stand on it. Live it. God bless you. Have a great week.